But if you found in your Bibles Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Isaiah 5 verse 1 says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain not upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, and behold, a cry." Let's pray as we begin tonight. Our Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for this new year that you have given us to serve you in. Lord, I pray that as we enter this new year, that you would work in our hearts. That, Lord, we would follow you. And I pray that tonight, as we look into your word, we may glean some things from your word that would help us as we begin this new year. Lord, we love you, and I pray that you'd be with me as I speak. That I would only say what you would have me to. And Lord, help me to forget those things that you do not want me to say. Lord, we love you and commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As a husbandman surveys his field, yet before he would have gone in to plant his fruit, he looks it over and he sees the plants of last year. He can stand back and he can remember what had gone on in that previous year. It was a good year. There was lots of rain. As he planted his plants, every one of them grew up healthy and strong. You could see the leaves before the grapes came, and they were lush and green. He began to have some anticipation, and he started to think, maybe this year will be just as good. And he starts to formulate in his mind what he would do to build up his vineyard again. Maybe have a greater harvest than he had the last year. This husbandman continues to remember the past year as he starts to get some seeds together. And he starts to plant some of these smaller, to get some smaller vines growing. Something that will be beneficial in years to come. And as he's doing that and remembering the bountiful harvest, he's remembering a time when the families would come together. The whole towns would empty out of the town and into the vineyards. And they'd start picking, and there'd be a lot of joy, and the night times would come. There'd be music everywhere. People would be joyful, praising God for the bountiful harvest that they had of grapes. And as this husbandman prepares for this coming year, though it may be months before he sees some grapes coming, even more months before he's able to harvest those grapes, he's already welling up within inside of him some joy for the coming year. What's about to happen this coming year in his harvest, if the Lord is good to him in that year? Every year, as this man would go out into his field, he would do a number of things, and they're outlined here for us in this passage. It says he would go out and he would pick out the stones. He'd take all the stones out of the ground, and he'd take them and he'd build a hedge or build a fence around that vineyard. And he did this for a couple of reasons. First, he wanted to keep out unwanted visitors, whether it was people coming in to take his grapes, animals coming in to feed on the plants or feed on the young grapes, trying to keep those predators out. So that fence was there. It was there for protection, but it was also there to slow down anyone that could actually climb over the fence. But he also took some of those rocks and he did something in the very center of his vineyard. He built a tower. Now this tower wasn't there with an archer sitting in it like you'd see many guard towers. It wasn't guarded that heavily. But he would be up there, and that's where he could survey his land. He could take a look at his vineyard, find out from a higher point that what parts are growing better than others. He could keep an eye on it for protection, yes, but also so that he could see where he needs to work and see where he needs to get out there and do a little bit more work in his vineyard. So he built that tower. But still, he has to work on the vines. The vines are what's going to give him the fruit. A tower and a wall is going to do nothing for him. So he gets out there and he starts looking around, and the terraces or the trellises are along that the grapevines need to hang off of. Now, grapevines, if left to themselves, will actually stay quite low. They'll go on the ground and there'll be a mess of vines on the ground. They don't grow very high. So you need to build them up off the ground. They get some boards or some sticks and build trellises so to keep them up off the ground so that those vines have a place to hang their fruit so they're not getting trodden underfoot. So he'd build up those trellises. And he'd start to notice that those branches, some of them from the previous year, did not produce very much fruit. So he started to prune those off. And there were some that were old and weren't producing much at all. So he'd cut those off too. And he'd get this big pile of brush and he'd take it and he'd cast it aside. He'd take it outside of his vineyard. He's preparing his vineyard for the coming harvest, for the coming year. He'd go about all those little vines that he had planted a while ago. He'd go and he'd transplant some of them. He'd make sure they were in good places, filling in the gaps. He wants to have as much fruit as possible from his vineyard. So he had it prepared. And he stands back and he looks at it. He looks at all the labor that he's put into it. And he's pleased. He's pleased with what he sees. And he begins to water his field. He makes sure that the irrigation ditches are there so that even in drier times, there's water that he can get to the root systems of these plants. Everything has been prepared. And he starts to see the plants grow. Throughout this process, he's weeding. He's taking out the unwanted plants so that nothing is there taking the nutrients. Nothing is there to take to start to strangle out some of the other plants. He's making sure that the conditions are perfect for this vine to grow. So he's finished pruning, he's finished planting, he's finished providing all the room needed for growth for these vines, and he's seeing now that grapes are starting to appear on these vines. He starts to get some joy welling up inside of him again. After all this work and hoping and praying that the Lord would give him a bountiful harvest, in comes this fruit, and the joy is just starting to bubble over. But after a while, that hope begins to fade. Because as he looks out at his vineyard, he notices something that he didn't want. Wild grapes. Something had happened in the course of all of this preparation. Something had gone on behind the scenes. Now, you know from reading this passage that the picture that we're given here is of Israel and Judah. A picture of these two nations and how God has put them in a very fertile land. If you remember when they were going in to conquer the land of Canaan, the things that the Israelites saw were great clusters of grapes. You saw giants in the land, and they must have needed giants to carry these grapes. I don't know, maybe the Lord put giants there for that purpose. But the land was fertile. It was one of the most fertile places in all the world. And God put His people there. He planted His people in this wonderful, beautiful land and was giving them bountiful harvest year after year. And God started it off that way. But you know, sin started to come into the camp. Sin started to come into the hearts and the lives of the people. And we see that as we move throughout this passage, that sin is the problem. Sin is what has caused these wild grapes to come about. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, we see Israel's spiritual condition portrayed. We see it pictured by wild grapes. But you know, this picture of the vineyard isn't isolated to this one passage. Many of you may know of other passages. Psalm 80, verses 8 through 19, though it show Israel as a vine as well. Genesis 49, verse 22, shows Joseph as a fruitful bough. Now, you might think of a bough as being something in the trees just outside our window here. It's not the bough he was talking about. It's actually talking about the branch of a vine. So he's talking about Joseph as a fruitful vine. Ezekiel chapter 15, also talks about vines, but it talks of the uselessness and of the unfruitful vine and how it's to be cut off. Remember, they were the husbandman goes out and he prunes the plants from the year before. He cuts off the garbage and throws it away. and he burns it because it's no good. Ezekiel 15 shows us more of that. And John chapter 15 also tells us of a vine, but it's talking about Christ as the true vine. The one from whom we get all of our sustenance as believers, because he is the vine. And the branches, that's us. Remember the pruning? The pruning that went about, cutting off those useless branches? This coming year, what will our life be like? Will God look back on the year before and see fruitlessness? No fruit springing up on that branch? You know, this coming year, God wants to do some great and mighty things through this church, through our lives as individuals. Think about our responsibility here. We are getting all of this nutrients and sustenance from a very fertile piece of ground, the Word of God. And He is sustaining us. Jesus Christ is the one that is sustaining our Christian lives. We see that through John chapter 15. We could get into a study of that and be there for weeks. It's a beautiful study on just how God has provided so much for us through His Son. And how He gives us the energy, gives us the life we need, the drive to go and live this Christian life. And if you look deeper into it, we find that Jesus Christ is the one that lives the Christian life through us. We're not doing a whole lot. Though we may be the ones out there soul winning. We may be the ones there toiling day in and day out, teaching in a Christian school or being a faithful witness in our workplace. It's Jesus Christ that we're showing. It's His work that we're showing. And as we gain more of the nutrients from that fertile ground coming through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fruit is produced. But look back on this year, Christian. Look back and see, what kind of branch were you this past year? Were you one that needs to be cut off, thrown away? We're told in John 15 that those, John 15 and even in Ezekiel 15, that those branches, they're not good for very much. Remember how I was talking about the vines and how they need to be built up on trellises or whatnot? It's because their branches are very thin. And they're weighed down and not very good for anything. You couldn't even take the branch of one of these grapevines and use it for anything. You couldn't even use it as a switch, I guess, for spanking. It's very not good for anything at all. It's useless. So you toss it in the fire and it burns up and is consumed right away. It's just like some twigs. So you can't use it for anything. So it's not like you can cut off that branch and take it and put it to good use. It's cast aside. This coming year, we want to be more fruitful than we were in the year before. We want our church to produce more fruit than it did the year before. But you know what we must do in this preparation time? In this time where we're coming before the Lord in our church services, hearing from the Word of God, we need to be gleaning from the nutrients that are coming through that vine of Christ. We need to allow Him, our husbandman, to do a work in our lives. Pruning. Pruning is necessary. We need to allow Him to set up a defense for us. And we need to keep ourselves behind that. Keep ourselves within His protection. Because He's going to do a great work in us if we only allow Him to. And though the time of planting may yet be months away, the time of harvest may yet be months away, the husbandman is preparing. He's preparing his vines. He's preparing his vineyard. Months in advance, one must prepare his vineyard for the growing season. And God does that first with picking. Picking up the stones. Gathering the rocks from the soil. That soil that provides the sustenance for us. Providing an optimal place for growth. And Christian, we couldn't find a more optimal place for our growth as believers, as in the Word of God and in our churches. As long as our pastors are teaching and preaching from the Word of God, properly following a right form of exegesis, going through Scripture, we looked at this last number of Sunday nights, how to properly interpret and apply Scripture. As long as we are putting those things into practice, as long as those things are happening, we will find fruit for our labors. And you could not find any more fruitful ground than this church. Any more fruitful ground than the Word of God. Are we getting into it? Are we getting into that ground? The Lord is going about picking out those stones so that our ground is perfect for growth. But then he piles them about, building a wall for defense. And it also marks the territory of the field. It marks that that piece of land, that portion of land, belongs to that husbandman or belongs to that landowner. It is his. And he's preparing it. And as the Lord is going about and he's picking out those stones and he's putting them aside and he's building up a hedge about our lives, as he's doing all of this, he's marking it and he's saying, that life, that church, that's mine. And he's marking it for himself. So he's picked, he's piled, but then he prunes, or he purges. He's cutting off the old fruitless vines. They were useless. And they are only going to impede the growth for the coming year. They're going to cause decay. So those things are to be cast aside. And he is doing that. And the Lord is going to do that in our lives. We must allow the Lord to pinpoint areas in our lives that are unfruitful. So that in this coming year, as those things are cut off and cast away, it makes room for more healthy branches to spring out. For those branches to bear much fruit. And then he goes about and plants. He fills in the gaps between the plants to make best use of the soil. And a good husbandman will make wise use of his resources. The more plants, the more potential for fruit. You see, the Lord, as he sends us out into the world to preach the gospel, he's seeking out new plants, young plants, plants that need to grow, plants that need to be brought inside the bounds of his land. That's our responsibility as believers, to be soul winners, to be telling others of Jesus Christ, showing them how good of a husbandman we have in our Lord, how good of a God we have, and what he has done for us. That's the work of God's planting. He often uses us to plant the seeds, but we know through Scripture that God is the one that gives the increase. And he's the one that is going to plant those roots of a young plant in the soil of his word. We need to be praying for the Lord's work. That this year we may be greater prayer warriors. That the work of the Lord would go forward. But we also see that he's going to protect. As he builds a tower with these rocks in the center of the vineyard, more protection is needed. The wall was not enough. So he says, I will build a tower in the center. And he goes and he sets a watch so that nothing will get at his plants. We see that from here, from this tower, action against threats will take place. But also from there in that tower, action for growth will also take place because he's watching his plants. He's watching to make sure that these trellises aren't falling over on each other. Making sure those things are built up so that everything is going the way that it ought to. The Lord is doing a work in his so that he can reap a bountiful harvest. So that in the end, he would have a time of plenty. A time of picking of grapes. This final step is the normal course of events. Yet in this case, in Isaiah chapter 5, it isn't so. God has gone about to put all this work into the nation of Israel and Judah. Remember, this passage is talking about Israel and Judah. It's not talking about the church. The church doesn't come about until the New Testament. Now, we can make a lot of application from this. We see the other passages in Scripture that point us to these applications. But he's talking about Israel and Judah, and if you look at their history, you look at the times that they had plenty. There were many years where they did have plenty, not just in the physical things, not just in the physical grapes and food, but they had times of plenty under men such as Samuel when the Word of God was brought forth. We see the changing over from the time of the judges where they entered the time of the kings. And though Saul was a wicked king, he didn't start out that way. And yes, they may have lost some ground, but in comes David. In the reign of David, we see that things are done properly. Yes, there were some sins in his life. There were things here and there. But God pruned his life. God pruned many lives in the life in Israel. And he brought forth a nation for himself. And he established them in the land. Then in comes Solomon, the wisest man that has ever been in this world. The wisest. And his land prospered, greater than it had ever prospered before. We see the work of the Lord going forward. But you notice something at the end of his reign. Through the course of his life, he had gotten to himself many wives, and they'd brought in false gods into the nation of Israel. And here we see where everything begins to go wrong. Where everything begins to take that downward dive to the point that we now read of in Isaiah chapter 5. God had put all this work into his vineyard. He had put all this work in so that he could reap a bountiful harvest. And yes, a harvest was coming, but not a good harvest. It was going to be a time where these plants were going to be left to their own. Because at the end of this passage, it tells us that that hedge would be torn down. It wasn't going to be a time of plenty, a time of joy, a time of jubilation where many would come out into the vineyards and shout praises to the Lord. We see that praise to the Lord is something that had long passed in the nation of Israel and Judah. They had left their first love. They had left their Lord, and they had gone about heaping to themselves many things that would become stumbling blocks. After all of the work of the Lord, they reap a terrible harvest. The good fruit and a bountiful harvest have disappeared. This time that would typically be marked by great joy had disappeared as well. In the times where wild grapes were being produced in the nation of Israel, God's heart was saddened. And as I look at our world today, I believe that God's heart is saddened. There are many churches, you could say many vineyards that God has planted and built up that are falling by the wayside because they're allowing areas such as music, they're allowing their doctrine to slip. They're allowing the things of this world to come in and to take away from the good. That hedge that was about them, that God had set up, that wall, those walls that he had set up there that marked God's territory were pushed over. And the world began to come in. And bit by bit, those trellises that were holding up, those fruitful vines were pushed over. Rocks that were once on the walls were cast out and through the field. Everything had started to be brought into a state of disarray. That vineyard was starting to crumble. The tower was torn down. And soon it came to a point where these plants were just snaking all over the ground, doing their own thing. And they were gleaning from the world. Israel was gleaning from the world. They were bringing the world to themselves, not just in their false gods and their idols, but the wickedness. Heaping to themselves the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Israel had fallen into a place where they were much farther from the Lord than in times past. The Lord had made every provision for a good and bountiful harvest. Picking, piling, pruning, planting, and protecting. Yet, in the end, they didn't find a time of plenty. The hard hearts of Israel and Judah had produced a spoiled crop. And in the midst of all of this work that the Lord had done, these people rejected him and his work. Wild and worldly fruit was then produced because of what the people of Israel and Judah had put into the Lord's fields. It reminds me of the parable of the wheat and the tares, where the Lord planted good wheat, but Satan made sure the plants of to plant tares that looked good for a while. The interesting thing about tares is they grow up looking just like wheat. You know, Satan comes into the church looking with like things are being done the right way. But in the end, when it comes time for harvest, what happens at the top of those plants? Nothing good. It's not wheat. It's something that'll choke out the good plants. It's something that chokes out the wheat. And the good falls aside, and all that is left is that which is useless. These tares are unfruitful. And that unfruitfulness had come into God's vineyard. Christians, what are we bringing into our churches? What are we allowing to be brought into this church? What is happening to this fertile ground? Make no mistake, this passage talks about Israel, but the application can be made to our lives and to our church as believers. As we have entered into this new year, many of us will make resolutions. Many of you may have already made your New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you make a practice of that. But if you do, what does your list of resolutions look like? Is it to lose some weight? Mine is to put on a little bit because I'm pretty thin. Is it to lose weight? Is it to do something to your home? Is it to make enough money to build on an addition to your home? Or is it to make, make anything. What are these things that you're saying you will do this year? Do they revolve around the Lord? Does anything crack that list that has anything to do with our Lord? Does it have to do with building up this church that God has placed you in? We have been entrusted by God with this church. Yes, He is keeping it. Yes, He is the one that has provided us with the sustenance. But at the same time, we can be the agents of destruction. And we can bring many things that will tear down this church. That will tear down the work of the Lord that has gone on for generations. As we make our New Year's resolutions this year, may we make resolutions that are founded in the Word of God. It's not wrong for us to desire to put on some weight or lose some weight. To do good things for our families. To build onto our homes. Those things are all good. But if they are not, if our main focus is not the Word of the Lord, is not our focus is not on portraying a right and good Christian life, portraying Jesus Christ for who He is, then our list of resolutions is sadly lacking. Man, you're entrusted with a family. What does your list of resolutions look like for your family's sake this coming year? Ladies, what does your list of resolutions look like this year for your life? Or as you continue to help your husband raise your children, or whatever sphere of influence you may have as an individual, what does your list of resolutions look like to promote the work of the Lord? Or to build up that vineyard, to produce more fruit, not just in your life, but in our church as a whole, in your family as a whole. So this year, let's do as our Lord has taught us and remove the stones of offense, the stumbling blocks from the ground around us. Let's build defenses in our lives to defend against Satan's devices, purging ourselves of unfruitful acts and activities that only serve as distractions and bring about destruction. Let's set about ourselves guard towers, so that when it comes to the time of a spiritual harvest, we will reap many bountiful blessings from our Lord. When the fundamentals of horticulture are followed, fruit will follow. So when the fundamentals that our Lord has set forward in His Word are followed, fruit will come out of His church. May 2012 be a year filled with fruitful labor and a harvest in First Baptist Church. But may that also be said in your life as a Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank You for Your goodness to us this past year.